Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:10 PM in the Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 28th. Well, I thought we'd kick off with the dollar index, because we can perhaps attempt to tie together a large number of themes based upon the performance of the dollar. We have evidence of type 3 top formation development, and perhaps not so distant in the future completion. So we have ranging time and size. We have a very lengthy range starting in 2015 all the way through until 2021, so a six-year range. We have a phenomenal amount of volatility where the index has gone from 1100 to 1300 and back again on two separate occasions. And then it's spent, so we have the ranging, we have the time, and we have the size. And now the big question is, will the Biden administration's spending plans, do they have any real chance of getting passed, and or at least how much of them will get passed without being curtailed by special interests? But one thing remains quite clear, and it is the determination of the US government to continue to run significant deficits. They've been running deficits since the Trump administration in 2017. There's no appetite for tightening up. There is a clear fear of social unrest, and in much the same way in that they did in the 1960s, the politicians are panicking. They're fearful about revolution, and they are fear of a restive young population. So they are improving social conditions and boosting social programs because they really do want to try and get peaceful conclusions to this period of unrest. And then, of course, there is the whole pandemic to deal with and the uneven way that the economy has opened up. So there's going to be a lot of spending one way or the other. And the dollar looks weak. It has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and now it is falling again. And if it takes out the lows, well, then it would suggest that we are back in a bear market environment for the dollar, and that we could anticipate that it will trend lower for a specific, a reasonable amount of time, reaching into years. And we don't have quite the same history for the Bloomberg Dollar Index as we do for the regular dollar index, but the most important thing is that every time we've had a significant peak in the dollar over the course of the last 40 years, then it has subsequently moved to a new low, and that new low would more likely now be below 70. So there is the clear potential that the dollar could lose 20 to 30% of its value over the course of the next few years, and perhaps all the way out to about 2025 or 2026. So that's a significant period and would stretch into a medium-term bull market for a lot of different assets. So we can think about the commodities sector. The CRB index is heavily weighted by oil, so it is right now on the cusp of pushing up to break out of this base formation. So it was looking like it was a base above 150, and then we had the pandemic, so it accelerated down to a new low. Then we had a failed downside break. It's pushing now back up, and it is quite potentially going to push through this 200-point level, and that would suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The CRB index peaked in 2008, so it has been trending down in a very jerky fashion for the last 13 years. So now we can think that perhaps it is due a medium-term bull market. It's being led higher by assets like copper. So copper prices have been resurgent over the course of the last 12 months and are on the cusp of testing the upper side of the range. They were a bit steadier in here today. Now we could potentially see some pause of consolidation as the LME price gets up and tests the $10,000 level, and we're came within striking distance of that rate in here today. I think it's reasonable to anticipate we should get at least some pause of consolidation around this area, but there's no sign of it just yet. Now, if the dollar is going to trend downwards, then that should be beneficial for emerging markets, particularly for emerging market dollar bond issuers. So, one of the announcements that a number of central banks made last week was that they are coming to the end of the dollar swap lines, and some of the available credit will start to expire on the 1st of July, and we're starting to see some of the central banks issuing dollar debt. Italy, for example, has issued about $50 billion dollars in debt. Now, we have to at least consider who's in charge of Italy right now, and Mario Draghi probably has his head tied on and knows what's what in the central banking world. And the fact that Italy is issuing dollar debt probably is a determination that they anticipate that the euro is going to appreciate versus the dollar, and that they will come out the other end of that issuance looking pretty steady. And Italy's not such a big dollar borrower, but it's going to be very significant news for a lot of emerging markets where they don't have the wherewithal to issue debt in whatever currency they like, and that they have reliance on US dollar funding. So I think that's important. And we can see too that the 10-year yield in Italy had popped on the upside in here today, but it didn't hold it. And I think this is rather interesting that when we think about the dollar and the potential that it is going to trend downwards, well, the logical conclusion would be that as the dollar goes down, then it would create a demand by investors for a better return. So they would sell the bonds until they get a yield high enough to compensate them for the risk in the currency. But the problem with that conclusion is that if the bond yield rises, it puts undue pressure on the wider market, and most particularly on the funding markets and the US dollar or the US government. So this is particularly true for the UK as well, because a lot of the mortgages in the UK are floating rate. So when we think about this very significant run-up in yields that we've had since August, and we've had a bit of a loss of momentum, and it wasn't quite able to hold on to the rebound in here today. I still think that investors who have been conditioned through a 40-year bull market in bonds, they will buy the dips, and this has been a significant dip. And a yield of 1.8%, if you think that the Federal Reserve is not going to raise interest rates anytime soon, is reasonably attractive. So I think that we are going to continue to see a buy the dip mentality. And most particularly because as the dollar continues to weaken, the Federal Reserve will, in many respects, be pressured into continuing to support the liquidity in the bond markets for fear that the rise in yields will curtail the economic expansion. The reason that the US government is so eager to spend is really quite clear. They need to get the economy back on track, but most particularly, they need to do more to try and address inequality. And also, then there is the real need for the Federal Reserve to finance all those initiatives. And it's a lot easier to do that when yields are lower. So they're willing to let inflationary pressures rise. And again, that is positive for emerging markets, but it's also positive for gold. Gold does best in a negative real interest rate environment. And as bond yields start to come back down, then gold is starting to perk up again. And it was well off its lows in here today. Now it's coming back up towards the $1,800 area. The $1,800 area, I might be encouraged to buy more, but I much prefer to buy gold on weakness. And when we look at what's going on, well, We've had a preponderance of downward dynamics, and they have mostly occurred following significant rallies, and each one has peaked below the last. So the $1,860 area is, I think, a big level because that was where the most significant resistance was back in January, at the end of January at least, and it's around the region of the trend mean right now. And if we can push back above that level and then find support somewhere in the region of it, well, then that would be clear confirmation that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And the reality is that with the dollar declining and the determination to print as many of them as is required, then that should help to foster demand for limited supply assets like gold. And it's also helping to create demand for things like Bitcoin. But my biggest fear here with Bitcoin is its loss of consistency. We've been through a 9-month corrective phase with gold, and gold is perhaps coming to the end of that phenomena. Now, the most difficult thing with Bitcoin is that it had this beautiful upside key reversal 3 days ago, and then it followed through on the upside yesterday, and now it's pausing here around the $57,000 level. I think it's worth considering that I don't often pay a lot of attention to the 50-day moving average for the simple reason that I tend to look at bigger trends overall. But if you're a momentum trader, it's the favored way of looking at momentum. And the reality is that the 50-day moving average has been really reliable since October. And every time Bitcoin pulled back, it found support there. Even on this big downward dynamic day, which would have triggered a lot of stops, then it paused or it closed right at the 50-day moving average. And now it paused in there today. So even though we've had a really quite impressive rebound, it's worth remembering that Type 2 top formation completions, which are massive reactions against the prevailing trend, they generally don't happen for a very easily identifiable catalyst, and people generally then move afterwards to try and rationalize the move. And there will be a lot of people who were waiting for a chance to buy, and they rush back in to bid up, but they come quickly into a wall of people who were shocked by the decline and would like to take profits at higher levels. So we then form this range, and that's the first step below the top, a period of right-hand extension. So the price pulls back and then moves into this rangy phase, and that range often forms below the peak. Now, obviously, there are potential bullish catalysts, which would be very encouraging if they were to transpire for Bitcoin. And I think the most significant of those would be the introduction of an ETF. Now, I'm not at all convinced of the clear rationale for why we should get an ETF, simply because I don't believe it's in the interests of the majority of investors. But what I think is irrelevant, what happens instead is if it is in fact approved, then we would see a significant rush of new money coming in. So that would certainly be welcome from the perspective of the bulls. But in the meantime, we have to consider that we've had this profound move on the upside, and I would think it is rather a good time to look at point and figure charts. I've lost my point and figure chart. I don't know what happened there. So I must have closed it by accident. But the reality is that, let me see if I can pull this over again. So we have our Bitcoin chart. That's on a daily basis, and we can look at it on 2 years. And even on 2 years, we can see that we had these ranges, but now we've had this loss of momentum. We've had the failed upside breaks. We've had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. So it has broken the sequence of higher reaction lows. So this is no longer consistent. And one thing that I find rather interesting is when we think about the loss of consistency on Bitcoin, then we have to then think about how that does that relate to stock markets. The demise of the dollar would potentially be beneficial for stocks, most particularly because it would flatter the foreign earnings of the large companies on the S&P 500, and it would represent nominal price appreciation, whereas currency hedging probably wouldn't be would probably be really rather necessary. Then we can think about Bitcoin being the I guess the epicenter of risk, and where money has been attracted at ever increasing levels, and where the market cap has just reached $1 trillion. And that $1 trillion has come from all over the world. And we have institutional investors rocking up into this market finally after more than a decade on the upside, and then suddenly becoming ardent bulls. I saw an article today, I believe it was on Zero Hedge, talking about someone who finally understood Bitcoin after taking magic mushrooms. So, if you have to be high in order to understand what the rationale is for owning the thing, that's not a good thing. And it sets up the potential for contagion. So, if Bitcoin starts to pull back, and interestingly, Tesla announced just offhandedly that they had sold some of their position, then the rationale is that we know that lots of institutions own it. We don't exactly know how much they own and what other assets they own. And if they experience a problem and a significant pullback, and it amounts to hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, and Bitcoin can fall aggressively, and it's quite normal to experience drawdowns of 10%, 20%, 30, 40, even 50%. Well, that kind of drawdown, where the market cap goes from $1 trillion to $500 billion, well, that would make the Archegos surprise that we had just a few weeks ago look like small change. So it does represent a challenge, and it could be a catalyst for the next reversion back to the mean on the S&P 500. So we are at, I think, an interesting juncture. I do think that the risk in this market has increased. And then we can think about, how does this all play out? Well, the dollar is obviously under pressure, and bond yields look like they could compress further, and the stock market has been, and it is just worth just looking at it over the last few days. It has done nothing. And these periods where the stock market does absolutely nothing for a few days are quite rare. And this daily amplitude, where we get very, very small moves, generally gives way to bigger moves. And we've had impressive earnings, particularly for companies like Google and Microsoft, and yet their share prices were not able to hold on to their gains in here today. And Google held its gap higher, but traded on the lower side of its range today. And then Microsoft, having announced really quite impressive earnings, was down in here today. So there is the potential that we're due some consolidation. Well, I don't think that we are. It's not really that we're due consolidation. That's not new news. It's more that we're starting to see evidence that the consolidation may be starting. And once started, and if that is associated with dollar weakness, it's likely to be beneficial for gold, but also beneficial for emerging markets over the medium term. Emerging markets really took off when their currencies started to appreciate. So the dollar index is looking like it is got a type 3 top formation, and the Asia dollar index is now bouncing pretty impressively from the region of the trend mean. And then the Latin America dollar index has collapsed in value over the last decade, and it has at least got base formation characteristics over the last 12 months. So if commodity prices continue to march higher, the challenge, of course, is that the CCI index is no longer a free index, but it had already clearly broken on the upside. So that was clear evidence that the CRB index is lagging because of oil, and the LME metals index is outperforming because of the strong performance of the industrial resources. We have started to see some of the enthusiasm for the grains sector starting to ebb over the last 2 days, but not in a dynamic manner. So this looks like more of a consolidation from a really very wide overextension. Wheat prices, which have begun to play catch up, were down a bit in here today, but and there is obviously a short-term overbought condition, so we may get some additional consolidation coming through in here as well. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.